I'm very happy now to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Deborah Madison. She's a world-renowned chef and writer, and Carmela Padilla. She is a writer and journalist, and they're both here to talk about Fuse Southwest 2014. It's a folklore, food and folklore festival that's happening September 12th through 14th. Welcome, ladies, to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much, Mary.
Thanks for having us.
So this is what? Is it the second annual?
This is the second annual Fuse Southwest, which is our food and folklore conference. And the first was held last November, I believe. And it was a new idea in town. Some folks from the Museum of New Mexico and the Museum of New Mexico Foundation got together with a number of community members who were interested in food and history and all of the culinary traditions, social traditions revolving around that. And last year put together a conference with some major keynote speakers and a number of local chefs and also a number of people who either grow food or eat food or celebrate food from within the community. And it was such a huge success that they decided to do it a following year. Lots of food to taste, to talk about. Would you call it a festival per se? I know we use that name, but
I don't know. I mean, I see it as a really interesting conference, a get-together, because there's so many different kinds of exchange. There are the food elements of tasting and so forth, but then there is the cultural folk art part, which has to do with such things as micaceous ware, or other traditional cooking utensils used by Native people. Native foods. The emphasis this year is on Native cultures, food and culture. So,
and especially of this area.
Oh yes,
yes, of the Southwest. And but New Mexico is a real, central part of that. Last year the focus was on Hispanic culture, so more oriented to the Hispanic food traditions, and a lot about just really grassroots aspects of those traditions. Mm-hmm. So there's a nice balance between scholarship and just family lore, what you learn around your kitchen table.
Now, let's talk about Native food for a moment. I mean, we know the big three, corn, squash, and beans, that are Native to this area and that seem to have been grown no matter what the conditions of drought or rainfall in any given year.
And actually grown all over the United States and Central America in that combination, too.
Yeah. What is it about that combination?
Well, it's a number of things. I mean, it's really the synergy of how those plants work together. The corn is tall. The beans travel up it, and they also put nitrogen into the soil. Corn takes a lot of minerals out of the soil, so that's a good exchange. And then the squash provides shade, which both plants need, especially in such heavy drought conditions. It helps conserve the moisture in the soil. So they work together as plants in the field in terms of their timing and their forms, and what they give and take from the soil. And, of course, they work in the kitchen, too.
Right.
And I think within the context of Native culture, because they were so central to the sort of the landscape and the foodways of Native culture, it also became central to the rituals of Native culture. So, cornmeal, all of those things are part of Native rituals.
Corn dances.
Corn dances, yes.
That's right. Now, where does chili fit in?
Well, chili actually is a subject that I happened to write a book about a number of years ago called The Chili Chronicles, and that's actually a great area of debate because chili, of course, is a new world crop. The first chilies were grown wild in Peru, South America, etc., or they grew wild in that sense. But then they were cultivated in Mexico during pre-Columbian times. Now, there's a debate about whether or not chili came to New Mexico through trade with indigenous cultures among Native cultures that were here before the arrival of the Spanish, or whether the Spaniards brought it after coming to Mexico and finding it, encountering it, and bringing it north. There's a huge debate, and the archaeologists will say that there is no archaeological evidence to date that chili was grown in New Mexico before the Spanish conquest.
Okay.
So the scholarly findings up to this point say that. Native peoples here will say otherwise in many cases.
That could be the subject of a whole nother conference.
Yes,
conference, I'm sure, because Chile is so big.
And because history is ever changing, you know, it's nothing's really definitive. To date, nobody has found a seed jar, you know, or paintings of Chile's in archaeological digs in New Mexico. But that doesn't mean they won't.
But that's a question that could certainly be asked by some of the archaeologists who are going to be speaking at this conference.
And those are the things we talk about at this conference.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because you might have somebody, you've been eating Chile for 17 generations, and so it becomes yours, even if it didn't belong to your, you know, 73 layers removed great-great-great-great-grandparents.
And speaking of those generations, Roxanne Spencil is going to be giving a fast talk and also, I believe, leading a discussion on the new Pueblo diet, which if anybody has read any magazine in Santa Fe in the last month, she's really been well covered in talking about this. And I think it's very exciting, this whole idea of going back to what your people knew. At the same time, there will be some discussion about post-contact foods, particularly animal foods, the Navajo Chiro sheep, Corriente cattle, bison, and so forth, because, you know, they've been around now for a long time, so they're also part of many people's diets. So.
Tell us more about what is meant by the new Pueblo diet.
Well, I've just read what's been been written, but it's basically she has up in Santa Clara with a number of people who joined her, including nurses and doctors who did blood tests during this whole time, went back to a pre-contact diet. So this is before the Spanish came. So they've had to rule out all kinds of foods that they normally eat, but there's been a noticeable and big improvement of their health as a result of this. So she's giving what's known as a fast talk on the opening day, and these are wonderful talks that are really smart and fast, and I think they're 12 minutes long, 12 to 15 minutes long, so, you know, no one's going to have a chance to go to sleep or leave, you know, because they're really interesting, and it gives you a taste of what this person might be talking about later on in a breakout session. So she's going to be doing one on Friday. There'll be another on Peaky Bread, and there's some great titles here, I think. It's Not All Rats on a Stick. Well, your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah. And that's we'll Dodie Fugate
and
from the
laboratory. Who said it was all rats?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Dodie's from the Laboratory of Anthropology, and she just gives the most wonderful talks. So you know that is going to be a crowd pleaser for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
It's interesting because I think there's this sense of let's go back to our roots kind of permeating the food culture right now. I mean, when you think about paleo diets, it's the idea of what did people eat before agriculture?
Yeah, that's going pretty far back.
That's going pretty far back.
We're going to be having one breakout session on the role of local agriculture and to what degree does it preserve traditional foods. And I think that's going to be a very interesting session because there are a lot of ways to approach it and think about it. And
because local agriculture is all about seed saving and having different varieties.
And there'll also be, there is also going to be a breakout session on seed saving. So these things are all connected. It really is about, you know, the art of food and folklore surrounding it and tradition as well.
And it's nice to have those things together, food and folklore, because they just go so well together.
Sure.
Well, I mean, food just doesn't stand by all alone. It's connected to all of these things. And when you begin to uncover what those strands are, it becomes so much more enriched, you know, and so much more interesting. You're not just sitting down to a plate of food, you're sitting down to a story, to many stories, to histories, to evolution, to all kinds of things. So in a way, that's what the fusion of culture and the fusion of food with folklore is about.
We're talking about Fuse Southwest. Fuse, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is spelled F-U-Z-E. And it's happening in Santa Fe. Now, who is this conference for? Who tends to come to it? Is it like a professional thing? Is it just like people who love to eat?
I think it's people who live here who are interested in food, and there are a number of food events, you know, from contemporary Santa Fe chefs to Native American chefs to the tastings of Peaky Bread to tastings on Sunday, which is a free day of local foods and so forth. So anyone who's interested in food, but who wants to share thoughts and to go a little deeper, I think.
Yeah, I think last year we got a wide variety of people. We got other writers. We got people from the public schools. We got some school teachers who came and just really, and some students who came, some home cooks. You know, everybody has a personal reference to food. And, you know, there are also many people who are interested in the more scholarly aspects of food. But when I say scholarly, I don't want to say it in a way that sometimes that word can be off-putting to people. It really is about sharing information about history and weaving ideas about the celebrations around food and just something, the things that we share, you know, using food as sort of the thread that goes through all of our cultures and all of our traditions. And just as I may have a tradition of chili in my family, somebody on a pueblo has a tradition of chili in their family, and I'm sure both of you have some kind of tradition in your families because you've lived here now, and maybe it wasn't native to your cultures or whatever, but you live here and it's part of your lives, whether you eat it or not. Does that make sense?
Lasagna.
Lasagna, sure, exactly. Green chili lasagna. Do you ever make
there
that?
There you go. There also, I want to mention that Betty Fussell, who is a food historian and who's absolutely brilliant, who's written extensively about corn and about meat and all kinds of foods in a very big way. I mean, she never writes little books. They're always big books. She's going to be coming and giving a keynote and also leading some workshops, and she will be a very dynamic person. But there'll also be some Native American chefs who I've had a chance to meet before at other conferences, and it'll be very interesting to taste their food and to hear what they have to say and what are the cultural elements they're working with. So there are all kinds of interesting things.
And then we also have street food, because we have food trucks from the Street Food Institute and elsewhere who are going to be coming. And you know, if you come to this conference, you not only talk about food, but you're going to be eating all weekend long. You know, everything from food that is created by some of the chefs in Santa Fe, as well as home cooks, as well as this what you might find on the street.
And also a grandmother's lunch.
What's that?
We'll see. It's going to be very traditional foods prepared by Native grandmothers, what they might serve their children or their grandchildren.
You don't have to be a grandmother to sit at the table.
No.
No. Okay.
You don't. I think grandmother suggests it's old and traditional more than anything else.
Right, right. The whole street food concept is interesting because it's kind of like, you have to think about what's the relationship between that and fast food, because a lot of the time, street food, you eat it while you're walking. You don't, like, find a place to sit down and be quiet. It's sort of like, and then a lot of it is really good, so how conscious are you of what you're eating while you're walking?
Yeah, or standing around near where it's been made because you might want another piece. I don't know.
Like those incredible pork sausages at the farmer's market on Saturday mornings. Breakfast on a stick, we call it.
I don't think I've had that.
Oh, my goodness. It's the reason for me to go to the farmer's market. I mean, not the only reason, but a good reason to go on Saturday mornings.
The food trucks are interesting, though, because they do have an element of stability, you know, so you're getting food, and they often are able to set up little benches or tables or highboys or some place that you can stand and have your food or sit and have your food and linger. Anyway, that's what we'll be doing at the conference when we have food trucks.
And there will be Frito pies. Can't forget the Frito pies.
Right.
And I think they're Woolworth Frito pies even. Well, I still call it Woolworth. Woolworth doesn't exist anymore, but the Five and Dime.
Right.
Frito
yes,
pies.
Yes, old traditional New Mexican indigenous food. Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's great to, I think, really go back and think about how we evolved eating, what our ancestors ate. But every once in a while, you got to have Fritos.
That's right.
Which are very, very far from the ground from which they sprang. So Fuse Southwest Conference, it's at Museum Hill. It's indoors and outdoors?
It's yes, indoors and it outdoors, is. Mostly in spaces between the Museum of International Folk Art, the Museum of Indian Arts and Culture, and the Laboratory of Anthropology, as well as some outdoor things. And actually, one thing I will note is that proceeds from the conference benefit the Museum of New Mexico, the museums of the Museum of New Mexico.
So, excellent. So they're tax deductible, too.
Oh, okay. And you have to pay to go, but Sunday is the free day.
Yes. And a Sunday is a little bit of a different day and a very interesting day because it is a place where local producers of food products will be there and demonstrating. And there will be demonstrations, I believe.
Yes, so it's a marketplace of sorts.
Yeah, it's a marketplace where you can taste what people make. They'll be talking about it, doing demonstrations. Sometimes you can, depending on what they have, you can buy what they make. So it's good to know what's made in New Mexico. It's part of who we are.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Now, you, Deborah Madison, have written so many cookbooks, amazing cookbooks. Do you cook from your own recipes? Do you just improvise? What do you do? What's your life like?
Well, I've retired at least temporarily, long time from writing cookbooks. This summer, I've been cooking from my books. And it's really been fun because if you're working on a project, another writing project, you don't necessarily go back to your own books and use them. But especially since I've had a few books come out recently and I get emails from people saying, oh, I love this dish or I make it all the time. I think, oh, I forgot all about that. I should go in my kitchen and try it. And it's really been fun. But I've also been cooking from Otolenghi's books, which are fantastic. And Well, he's a chef in London. He's from Israel. His business partner is Palestinian, and they cook foods that are very much of those flavors. Lots of cumin and cilantro and pomegranate and, you know, those kinds of things. One book he wrote is called Plenty, and it's all vegetables-based, and his other books are not so much, but they're just wild and really fun to cook from.
If there were more of that, we might have a little more peace in the area.
Yes.
Israeli and Palestinians cooking together and eating together.
Well, many, I think, Israeli and Palestinians do get along just fine. I think governments are creating some of these problems, too.
Ah, yes.
But that's a whole other topic.
Back to Fuse Southwest. So it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, September 12th, 13th, and 14th, open to anybody who wants to come. How did it go the first year?
It was fabulous, and that's why, I think the feedback was so great, that's why we decided to do it again this year. It ran smoothly. It was like something, not to sound too corny, that people were hungry for. You know, they really wanted to sit around and talk about what their grandmothers made, or how they grow chili, or how they irrigate from an acequia, or how they, you know, whatever they wanted to talk about and be in with like-minded people. One thing I will say is that, you know, there's such a diversity of people who are involved in these conversations. You have more than 60 noted food scholars, James Beard Award-winning chefs, distinguished authors, nationally known local authors, you know, just across the board, 10 tastings, food tastings, specifically throughout the weekend. Meals, full meals. You know, you go in there and you sit down early in the morning. You got coffee. You've got breakfast burritos. You've got, I mean, so you are just eating all day long and talking food. Mm-hmm. And it's just really enough to fill you up.
It is. And there's some interesting elements in this Fuse conference that I really, really like. And those are the art breaks, which are these very short breaks, 15 minutes long. And last year, various poet laureates from the state got up and they read with great passion and energy the most amazing poems, all of which had to do in some way with their food and their personal history or their cultural history. And they were riveting. They were fantastic. And we're going to do that again this year. I don't know if it will be with poet laureates, but I think, Carmela, you're going to read something.
I'm going to attempt one, yes. No, there will be some wonderful poets, I mean, who are professional poets. Lucy Tapahanso, I'm not sure what the full slate is, but I'm going to give it a try. I don't usually write shorter pieces. I'm more of a book writer and an in-depth feature writer, but let's see if I can be short.
I'll bet you can.
And there's also tours of the botanical gardens.
Yes, there and Scott Canning, who is the new horticultural head of the botanical garden, will be giving be in a workshop on seed saving. Excuse me, and the gardens look gorgeous, and it'll be a great opportunity for people who haven't made it over or people who are returning to take a walk through. They're just absolutely beautiful.
So Deborah Madison is a chef and writer. Carmela Padilla is a writer, journalist, both organizers of the Fuse Southwest Food and Folklore Festival. Did you just do that so that we couldn't pronounce it?
Actually, I think that was Steve Cantrell and Vicky Posebon, I think, came up with the of Delicious New Mexico, who plays a big role in this thing, especially on Sunday. And I think they got together and maybe had a few margaritas. And
they said, oh, Food and Folklore Festival is fun to say.
Fuse, Food and Folklore Festival, fun, September 12th through 14th. If people want to go, how do they sign up?
They can go to the website, Fuse Southwest, that's FUZESW.museumofnewmexico.org. That's the website.
Excellent.
And all the information will be there.
Yes, and it's not like a ticketed event. You go and you register, because you're you know, basically for the cost of one meal out, you are getting two full days of things. So it's not like you get a ticket to a little one panel discussion, this panel discussion or that.
Signing up for the whole deal.
Yeah.
For the whole deal. Excellent. Well, thank you both so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe, and we will come hungry.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
You better.